Good morning, everybody. And happy Mother's Day. So, as Graham said, I'm going to be speaking from Proverbs chapter 31, where there's a beautiful poem which praises the woman of noble character. Now, I have spoken on this poem before here in this church, but a couple people have asked me to do that again, and those people were mothers, so Mother's Day seemed like a good time to honor that request. You will often hear the claim made that Christianity suppresses women. You ever heard that before? Hands up if you've heard someone say Christianity is bad for women, the Bible suppresses women, anything along those lines. That claim is false. And I really hope that you'll pay good attention this morning. That includes men as well as women. This poem is about women, but everything it says can apply to us as well and our attitudes toward women. And I really hope the young people will listen too, because the world around you is going to tell you that Christianity is bad for women. Maybe the world has already told you that. Maybe your friends, maybe your teachers, maybe even some of your family have told you that, but it's not true. And I could show in many ways that the Bible is not anti-woman. So sometimes people claim that the Bible blames women for sin. But if you read the Bible, it's Adam who gets blamed for sin, not Eve. I could show you that women were full persons in the Old Testament law. They were not merely the property of their fathers or husbands, as people like to claim. But women had equal rights, and sometimes they had even better legal protections than men did in the law in Israel. I could show you that one of the things that stood out about Jesus in his culture was that he had female disciples, which other rabbis did not do. I could show you that when Paul tells wives to submit to their husbands, what he means is they should respect their husbands, not be their slaves. And at the same time that Paul says wives should respect their husbands, he says husbands should be willing to lay down their lives for their wives. Somehow, when Paul asks men to die for their wives, no one bats an eye. But when he asks women to respect their husbands, everyone loses their minds. We could look at these and a million other parts of the Bible, but as I said, we're going to come to this poem in chapter 31 of the book of Proverbs. And I'd like to ask you to do yourself a favor and read it in full later today, especially if you are a woman and if you're a mother. For now, I'll give you a snapshot. This is what the Bible says an ideal woman is like. Let's test and see how misogynistic this picture is. A woman of noble character, who can find? Her value is far greater than rubies. So the ideal woman here is called a woman of noble character. So this is what the Bible values in you, ladies, is your character. This poem will not say one word about the woman's appearance. In the Bible, what a woman looks like is not what's important. It's her character that matters. And the Hebrew word here for noble character is interesting. It's a word for warriors. It means strong, brave, valiant, heroic, most of the times that it's used in the Old Testament. So this is how the Bible views you, ladies. You are capable of being heroes. If the Bible saw women as weak and useless, it would not talk this way. But here we are. What else can we say about the woman of noble character in this poem? She is hardworking. This is no trifling, delicate creature. this woman, spending her time shopping and spoiling herself. She works early in the morning and late at night. She takes care of her children. She provides for her husband. He can count on her as a co-worker, a partner, a teammate. The poem says she is clothed with strength and dignity. Strength and dignity is what the Bible sees in you, ladies. Why does she work so hard? Because she cares about people. She loves people. She cares for her children, her husband, her servants, and the poor. She loves her family and other people. And she lives like she loves them. What kind of work does she do? Not in this poem, nor anywhere else in the Bible, will you find the words barefoot in the kitchen. It's true that a lot of the work for the woman of noble character here in Proverbs 31 is what we might call domestic duties. But that's not all. In this poem, in the Bible, which has kept women down for centuries, or so I've been told, this woman considers a field, she buys it, and she plants a vineyard. Her husband is not holding her hand through all of that. That's her initiative. That's her work. It also talks about her trading. She's a merchant. She buys and sells things, and the poem says that she makes a profit at it. So she is a businesswoman. There is not one verse in the Bible that says that women are only good for housework. Not one verse. And on the contrary, this poem about the woman of noble character says she can work both inside and outside the home. Why not? Now, all this hard work for women, does that sound daunting? Does that sound like the Bible is making her into a slave doing all this work for other people? Well, I'm afraid it's always damned if you do and damned if you don't for the Bible. If the Bible showed women lounging around and doing nothing important, it would be accused of being misogynistic for treating women like they're useless. But when it shows a woman doing hard work, then it's misogynistic for treating the woman like a slave. Heads, you win. Tails, the Bible loses. Well, how about this? How about if we all grow up and realize that a good life means hard work? Male or female. The Bible expects a lot from you ladies, just like it expects a lot from us men. And that is what real respect is. Real respect means telling you that you are capable and holding you responsible. And that is what the Bible gives you, ladies. True respect. You are capable of being heroes, and you are encouraged to do it. The poem also praises the ideal woman for her wisdom. She is not a flighty, superficial airhead. This woman of noble character, we already saw that she is a savvy businesswoman. And the poem highlights how she plans ahead, like preparing her family for the winter. She can laugh at the days to come, it says. Why? Because she's wise. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue, it says in Proverbs 31. This is what the Bible thinks of you.
Ladies, your words are worth listening to. You are not just blabbing about gossip and fashion and celebrities. If the Bible treated women like they were stupid and inferior to men, then it would not say this. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. I've looked at the women's magazines at the shops, and I know what the publishers of those magazines think you want to read. Now that is misogynistic. Articles about shopping and sex and celebrity gossip. Ads for makeup and fashion and weight loss programs to change the way you look. That's what the so-called enlightened secular world thinks of you. Ladies, don't buy it. Don't sell yourself short. The world thinks that you are silly and shallow and selfish. But the Bible says that you are strong, wise, caring, and heroic. In the ancient world, this poem in the Bible stood out like a sore thumb, because songs and poems about women and wives were usually about their looks. Not this one. This one is about her character. And let me ask you this. What do men sing about today that they like in women? Oh, her eyes. Her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day. When I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change, because you're amazing, just the way you are. And when you smile, the whole world stops and stares for a while, because you're amazing, just the way you are. Her lips, I could kiss them all day if she'd let me. Her laugh she hates, but I think it's so sexy. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day. Just the Way You Are by Bruno Mars. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly sugar baby. Such a sexy, sexy, pretty little thing. The only thing I really know is she got sex appeal. I see the sun breaking down into dark clouds and a vision of you standing out in a crowd. Come, my lady, you're my butterfly sugar baby. Feel respected? Butterfly by Crazy Town. Now, I am not a prude, so I do not mind songs about sex and about beauty. That's fine. Just don't tell me that today's world has so much more respect for women than the Bible does. I'm not stupid. And neither are you, women. The Bible values your courage, your work, your wisdom, and your character. The world thinks you are eye candy. In human history, Christianity has been one of the best things that has ever happened for women. Now, that may sound like a bold thing for me to say, but it is not. It sounds bold because of this myth that the Bible suppresses women. But in fact, it is not bold for me to say this because the facts are on my side. Christianity has been great for women. Now, it's up to you whether you want to believe the myth or look at the facts. But think through just a snapshot with me. Think about the ancient world where we think the Bible did so much to bring women down. No less a thinker than Aristotle said, "The male is by nature superior, the female inferior." But we look back to the ancient world and say it was the Bible that put women down. Really? The Old Testament gives women equal value, dignity, and worth as people equally made in the image of God. Jesus, again, radically respected women and took them on as disciples, and it was women that he chose to be the first witnesses to his resurrection from the dead. Your words are worth listening to, ladies. So far from enslaving women in any way, the book of Acts shows Paul and Silas liberating a slave girl from the non-Christian men who were exploiting her. Not one word of the book of Acts shows the early church oppressing women. From outside the Bible, we know what the church was like after the time of the book of Acts. In the supposedly enlightened Greco-Roman society, infant girls were not infrequently left to die so that couples could have sons instead. Guess who opposed that kind of infanticide? Christians. Guess who took care of widows when the society at large discarded them? Because to non-Christians, some old woman doesn't have any value in and of herself. Ancient Christians made a name for themselves, loving and caring for widows. Guess who opposed child marriages in the ancient world? Christians. In the broad sweep of human history since then, Christianity has been good for women. In places like China, India, Africa, who put an end to foot binding, widow burning, forced prostitution, and polygamy? Who stood up and opposed that? Christians. Who promoted education for girls and women in those countries and places? Christians. And what about Europe and the Western world? It was built on biblical values that honor women as equal to men in value, dignity, and worth. Oh, but wait a minute. Wasn't it the Enlightenment that overturned the dark ages of Christianity? And that's why the Western world has been better for women? Let's hear a voice from an inheritor of the Enlightenment. Let's hear a voice from the period right after the Enlightenment, the atheist philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer. What did he have to say about women? Women are childish, foolish, and short-sighted. In a word, women are big children all their lives, something intermediate between the child and the man. Nature has given to man strength and reason, and has conferred on woman falseness, faithlessness, treachery, ungratefulness, and so on. In his essay entitled On Women, Schopenhauer said that reverence for the female is a Christian stupidity. Those were his words. Reverence for the female is a Christian stupidity. This atheist from just after the period of the so-called Enlightenment, which seems to me a bit endarkening for an Enlightenment. This is the view of women from a leading atheist philosopher who inherited the Enlightenment, who looked back on Christianity and the Bible, which he disdained, and saw its reverence for women as a Christian stupidity. And we could add to Schopenhauer names like Nietzsche and Freud and others. But we look back on this period and call it the Enlightenment. Modern society in the West is good for women because of Christian values, in spite of non-Christian values. It has been the biblical value of the equality of all human beings, young and old, male and female, rich and poor, whatever race or nationality. It's been that biblical value that has made the Western world the best countries in the world for women. In 1988, the UN did a survey of women's welfare, including health, education, employment, and social equality. The top nations in the world for women all had a Christian heritage. The bottom nations in the world for women all did not have a Christian heritage. And I could go on about this topic, and if you're interested, I would love to talk about it with you. But here's the thing. You can care about what the facts and the truth are, or you can say that Christianity suppresses women, but you can't do both at the same time. The world thinks you ladies are just big children. You're interested in gossip and shopping, and your only value is in your looks. The Bible says you are more than that. It calls on you to be wise, strong, hardworking, and to care for others. And now, ladies, I know exactly what's next, because I know you well. You're worried that you might not measure up to the woman of noble character in Proverbs chapter 31. And all I can say to that is, join the club. I'm not everything the Bible calls me to be. I'm not a perfect teacher, a perfect husband, a perfect father, or a perfect man. We are all failures, men and women, because we're all sinners. But God loves men and women both. And he loves us both so much that Jesus Christ died for us and was raised to life again. So when you don't measure up to Proverbs 31, do what I do when I don't measure up to what the Bible expects from me. And that's two things. First, trust in Jesus Christ who died to save you from your sins. Second, wake up tomorrow morning, roll up your sleeves, and do better. Proverbs 31 is not a yardstick to look back on your life, see how far short you fall, and beat yourself up. The woman of noble character is a goal to look forward to. See what you can be and shoot for the stars. You see, the Bible treats you ladies the exact same way it treats us men. It will not flatter you just for being women, any more than it flatters us just for being men. Instead, it will challenge you to be more than eye candy. You can be a hero, a warrior, a woman of noble character. And what is at the heart of that kind of character for a man or a woman? Faithfulness to God. A woman who honors the Lord is to be praised, it says in the poem in Proverbs 31. So when the poem started by asking a woman of noble character who can find, I look around this church family here, I see you ladies, and I say to myself, jackpot.
Thank you, Larry. No shortage of passion in that.